title of the shir, the drasha, this special shir is Shiva de Nechemta and Tshuva. Chazal instituted that there should be something called a haftorah, and b'derech klal, the haftorahs are connected in some way to the parsha. Whatever the parshas in Yonim are, there's something in the haftorah that relates to those in Yonim. Sometimes one specific nekuda, most often more than one. And a variety of Sfarim particularly stands out, Rabbi Yonason Eibshitz's Sefer, Avas Yonason, that explains what the kesher is between the Haftorah and the Parsha. However, the minhag of Klal Yisrael, and there are different minhagim over different times, which is evident in the Rambam, side the Rambam, the way he expresses himself in Hilchos Tefillah in the Halacha, by Kriyas HaTorah, and side the Rambam in the Seder HaTfilis that he has at the end of Sefer Ahava. There were different minhagim. Evolved is our minhag that the Parsha and its relationship to the Haftorah ceases to be the rule from the time of Shiva Asa B'Tammuz essentially until the Yomim Tovim, through the Yomim Noraim. Because instead of the Haftorah relating directly to a specific Nekuda in the Parsha, the Haftorah relates to the Zman, the Tkufa that we are in. And there's a system. Even though the particulars are subject to various minhagim and machloikas, but the system is accepted by everyone. Namely, that the 3 weeks of Avelus that go between Shiva Asa B'Tammuz and Tisha B'Av have three haftorahs that relate not to the parshiyos, but rather to the inyan of the Avelus of the 3 weeks. And there are Divrei Teichacha, Divrei Musar, and Divrei Churban. So therefore we have in our minhag, there are different minhagim, the Rambam has a different minhag, Anshei Taimon have a different minhag al Hayoim, but in our minhag we have two haftorahs from Yirmiyahu, the first two kapitlach, Divrei Yirmiyahu and Shimu Dvar Hashem, and the week, the Shabbos immediately preceding Tisha B'Av, which has a name because of the beginning of the haftorah, Chazoin Yishayahu, the first kapitel of Yishayahu, Shabbos Chazoin, and then after Tisha B'Av, those are the three haftorahs which are called Tlosa Depur Anusa, the three haftorahs of punishment, of difficulty, of travail. And then there are seven haftorahs, all of them from Yeshayahu, which are called Shiva de Nechemta, seven haftorahs of Nechama. After the seven haftorahs of Nechama are two haftorahs of Teshuva. So, the system that prevails by and large throughout the year changes when it comes to that Tkufa in Chodesh Av and continues through Chodesh Elul and into Tishrei. Tlosa de Puranusa, Shiva de Nechemta, and Trei L'Tshuva. When I was looking at the Shiva de Nechemta, whenever it was, I noticed a startling thing. I had a startling observation. The Rambam says in Hilchos Tshuva Perek Zayin, Kol ha-neviyim kulam tzivu al ha-teshuva, ve'ein Yisrael nigolin ela b'tshuva. Even more, Ukvar hiftiha Torah, shesof Yisrael lasis tshuva b'soif galusan u'miyad hein nigolin. Shenema v'hoyo ki yavou olecho kol advorim o'ele, ha-berocha v'ha-klolo asher nasati lifanecha, v'ashevoisa elevavecha b'chol agoyim asher hidichacho Hashem elokecho shoma, v'shavto ad Hashem elokecho v'shamato b'kolo k'chol asher anochi mitzavcha hayoyim. And then it says, v'shov Hashem elokecho shvuscha v'richamecha, Rambam quotes a whole slew of papsukim, which speak about the inyan of teshuva and how teshuva is the absolute requirement that precedes the geula shleima. Reb Chaim Brisker said, even stronger, that if a person believes in Mashiach, part of the belief in Mashiach is the belief that Klal Yisrael is going to do tshuva. And if you don't believe that, then you're an apikoros in the inyan of Mashiach. Fascinating idea. What struck me, therefore, is that when you look at all of these haftiris, seven of them, with many, many psukim of geula, there's not one word mentioned about Klal Yisrael doing teshuva. Not one. And it struck me as very strange. If this is such an essential component, such a critical ingredient, why not have it somewhere as the introduction to Haftarah, as a component of the Haftarah, completely absent? So the first thought that I had was that it's not a kasha bichlal. Why? Because, you see, we don't lay in the Haftarah in a vacuum. It's true, the Haftarah is not created, it was not introduced to relate to the parsha, like Parshas Noyach, or Parshas Lech Lecha, or Parshas Va'era. It relates to the Zman. But it is always connected to the parsha, because you lay in the parsha before you lay in the Haftarah. And the tzibur that is listening to the Haftarah just heard the parsha. Now let's think about it for a moment. The first Haftarah of Nechama, Nachamu, Nachamu, Ami, Yomar Elokeichem. What is the Sedra? So this was a rule that was established that is expressed in a mnemonic that was repeated by Tosfos, by the Hagos Maimonides, by many Sfarim in the Rishonim. And the particular detail of that mnemonic, B'nageya Ar Inyan, is Tsumu Vitsalu. Tsumu, you should fast, and Tsalu, you should pray. What does that mean? So the answer is, Tsumu means Tisha B'Av. And what is Tsalu? The Tefillah of Moshe Rabbeinu to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, V'eschanan El Hashem V'eisahi Leimor. Tsumu always precedes Vitsalu. Tisha B'Av always falls out before V'eschanan. Never fails. V'eschanan comes immediately upon the heels of Tisha B'Av. You open up Parshas V'eschanan, it's full of all kinds of inyonim chashuvim admiyod, basically the yesodos of our Yiddishkeit, including, of course, the Aseres Hadibros, and including, of course, Shema Yisrael. But also included in the Parsha is the same thing that we lay in on Tisha B'Av morning. Ki solid bonim uvnei bonim. What is the yisoid that I'm trying to bring out? That I have just heard perhaps the strongest and harshest criticism that Klal Yisrael could possibly hear. And Parshas Ekev, Cheta Egel, Parshas Re'eh, there's bracha, but there's also klala. Pasha Shoiftim, there's a melech. And the melech is not stam. You have to follow the rules. And then there's Pashas Kiseitzei, has the most mitzvahs of the Torah. Pashas Kisavo, the Pasha that is upon us, brachos uklolos. The klolos are harsh and severe beyond. What I'm trying to bring out is that the Pasha, in effect, creates a certain hasaga, certain havana, that number one, a Jew is never free. The Kliyokar by Ben Sari Umayra says an amazing thing. He says, Bonim atem l'Hashem Elokeichem. A person could think that if he's a Bain, he's privileged, and therefore he can get away with much. And the Ribbono Shel Olam says, no, there's a parsha called Ben Sari Umayra. And what do you see in the parsha of Ben Sora Mora? The Sof Suvo Aviv Ve'imo Ve'otzio Sol Zikneiro Ve'Shar Mekomo. The Zakenim are brought, are introduced to a Ben Sora Mora by whom? By the Tata. So this is a remez that even though it's Bonim Atem LaShem Elokeichem, nevertheless, if the Bain is a Sora Mora, then the father himself is going to bring him to task, going to bring him to judgment. The idea that Klal Yisrael is obligated has in it the potential and the threat and the warning of Ahayim Shemaya in Parsha Sekev, where it says, V'chora af Hashem b'chem b'atzares HaShemayim. And pasuk for pasuk, there are so many psukim during the interval of Shiva de Nechemta in the parshias of the Torah that warn Klal Yisrael what will happen to them if they don't behave, if they don't keep the mitzvahs of the Torah. If you look at it in that context, I would dare say that the purpose of the Shiva de Nechemta is an antidote more than anything else to the parshias that we are laying. A person can come out of those parshiyos with the conviction after the Churban Beis HaMikdash and after the Tlos of the Pura Nusa that all is lost. Because we'll never match up, we'll never make the grade, we'll never live up to what HaKadosh Baruch Hu expects of us, and therefore we will never be able to do that kind of tshuva that will bring the Geula Shleima. We have to lay in the Haftarahs. And the Haftarahs are ex post facto. The Haftarahs are after the tshuva. To teach us that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives us His promises that there will be a Geula, which gives us the chizuk to say that it's not impossible. And I would like to add something. In Parshas Kisavai, which has the brunt of the klalos, there are several psukim that maybe describe the relationship of HaKadosh Baruch Hu with Bnei Yisrael in the most intimate and most perfect way possible. Very, very interesting. And the pasuk describes the mutual relationship of HaKadosh Baruch Hu to Bnei Yisrael and Bnei Yisrael to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The pasuk says, Hayoyim hazeh Hashem Elokecha mitzavecha laseis es achukim o'eila. This is Shlishi of Parshas Kisavai. We're going to hear it momentarily on Shabbos. Hayoyim hazeh Hashem Elokecha mitzavecha laseis achukim o'eila ves hamishpotim v'shamalto v'asiso isam v'chol levavcha v'chol nafshecha. So the first thing that the Pasuk says is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave you many, many mitzvahs, chukim, mishpotim. And He commands us v'shamarta v'isisa isam, and it's not enough to do it, but it has to be b'chol levav v'cho v'chol nafshecha. It has to be done with a bren, with an enthusiasm, with an excitement, with the entire might and main of the person. Then the pasuk continues, Es Hashem he'amarta hayoyim liyos l'chol elokim v'loleches v'durachov v'lishmo chukov v'mitzvosov v'mishpatov v'lishmo yabekoiloi. Vashem hamircha hayoyim liyos loy la'am segula kasher diber loch v'lishmor kol mitzvaysov u'sitcha elyon al kol agoyim asher osu l'tilu l'shem l'seferes v'liyoscha am kadosh l'ashem elokecha kasher diber. These psukim, after it says that HaKadosh Baruch Hu commanded you to do all the mitzvahs, the chukim, mishpatim, b'chol levav v'chol nafshecha, es Hashem he'amarta. The word he'amarta, a very difficult word. Rashi, Hemarta v'hemircha, Rashi right away says it's a very difficult word. Ein lohem eid moichiach b'mikra. What does he mean, eid moichiach? There is no cognate word that I could say, now that I understand the context of the word over here, I know what the word means over there. There is no other place. And therefore, v'li nire, you heard? V'li nire. The great Rashi cannot say with confidence what this word means. Nireli. Shehu loshoin hafrosho v'havdolo. Hivdalto l'chom elohei anecho liyos l'chol elohim. V'hu hifishcha elav me'amei ha'aretz means from the nations of the world, liyos lo la'am segula. And then he gives the davar acher in parentheses, and there are 15 other pshatim what ha'amarta means. Interestingly enough, in the translation here, in this particular art scroll Chumash, it speaks about Hashem distinguished us, and we distinguished Hashem. But whatever the word means exactly, we have an understanding or a feeling of what we're trying to hear over here. That there's a unique relationship that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has demanded of us, and that HaKadosh Baruch Hu in reciprocation has offered us. So it's a very fascinating thing. It says here that our responsibility is what? Liyos l'chol elokim, Hashem should be our God. L'leches bedrochav, to go in His path. L'shmo chukav mitzvayso mishpatav, v'lishmaya b'koylai. That's what we have to do. And reciprocally, what did HaKadosh Baruch Hu do for us? So listen to what it says. V'Hashem emircha yoyim liyos lo la'am segula, treasured nation. Unique and treasured, special. Kasher diberloch. Ulesitcha elyon al kol agoyim, and you will be above all the other nations of the world. Asher osa lesilu l'shem l'teferes l'yoscha am kodosh l'ashem elokecha. Maybe the greatest appellation for Klal Yisrael, we are the am kodosh. We are unique and separate and apart, devoted completely to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I left out three words. V'Hashem emircha yoyim liyos lo la'am segula kasher diberloch, I read, v'lesitcha elyon al kol agoyim. But between those two, there are three words. V'lishmar kol mitzvaysav. And l'chayra, if you're following me, that's very difficult. Because lishmar kol mitzvaysav belongs in the section of what we have to do for HaKadosh Baruch Hu, not what HaKadosh Baruch Hu is doing for us. So how does it read? V'Hashem ha'mircha hayom lios lo li'am segula v'lishmar kol mitzvosav. Who's keeping the mitzvahs? Hashem is keeping the mitzvahs. We're keeping the mitzvahs. That's our obligation. So why is v'lishmar kol mitzvosav included here? It's very difficult. And Rashi doesn't say anything. I think the answer is very pashut. The Ribbono Shel Olam says, why did I choose you? Why bedafka? So you could say zechus avos. But that's not enough. Because zechus avos is good. You could have nama de kisufa. You can have kol Yisrael yeshlam chelek lo'olam haba. But you can't have a nation that fulfills the mitzvahs of the Torah just because it's zechus avos. Because zechus means that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has to give us a reward for what they did. Fine. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu chooses Klal Yisrael in order that Klal Yisrael should serve Him in a unique and special way that no other lo asachein l'chol goy u'mishpatim bal yadon. So that entails a phenomenal amount of confidence. When HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, you are an Am Segula, that you are an Am Kadosh, HaKadosh Baruch Hu also says, I know that you will be able to keep the mitzvahs of the Torah. The essence of tshuva is exactly that. Klal Yisrael is saying to the Ribbono Shel Olam, Echkenisht, I'm suffering, I'm in golus, I'm this, I'm that, it's too hard for me. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu is responding, yes, you can do it, and that is my absolute conviction, which I include in the choice of Bnei Yisrael from the very outset. Matan Torah says Klal Yisrael is capable. That's what I'm driving at. Matan Torah says that Klal Yisrael is uniquely capable. And that's in the words, L'sitcha elyon al kol agoyim, because you are the only ones that I in charged with the inyan of lishma kol mitzvaysav. So just like you have a person, you give him the most difficult piece of piano music to play. I mean, some pieces of piano music for an accomplished player is very easy, even though it's beautiful, it's very, very melodic and so on. But some pieces are very, very difficult. So, I mean, maybe Rabbi Marcus could tell us which one is more difficult than the other. But Mistama to play Rachmaninoff's piano concerto number 2 is a very, very difficult piece to play. As a Zuchtman, anyhow. So Lemaisa, if you go over to a person and you hand him that manuscript, those notes, and you say, play this for me, you know what you're saying about the person? That he's a gadol hador in piano playing. That's what you're saying. When HaKadosh Baruch Hu Lahavdil gives the Klal Yisrael the mitzvahs of the Torah, he's telling them, you are capable. So it comes out, what I'm driving at is this. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, in the Shiva de Nechemto Parshiyos, has all kinds of warnings. But at the same time, in those warnings, he's repeating again and again, in the warnings themselves, that you are capable. The same thing is true in the last pasuk of Megillas Eicha. The last pasuk of Megillas Eicha says, "Ki im ma'os ma'astanu, katzavta aleinu ad miyoid." Comes along the Medrash. You know, we repeat Hashiveinu Hashem Elecha v'nashuva, because the last pasuk is a very harsh pasuk. It speaks about HaKadosh Baruch Hu's anger. So we would rather hear Hashiveinu Hashem Elecha v'nashuva. But the kasha is, Yirmiyo Anovi Lemaisa, why does he end with Kim Os Ma'astan? The answer is, on the one hand, it appears to be very harsh. But on the other hand, it's the most wonderful pasuk to end Megillas Eicha with. Because it includes, in the harshness, a tremendous promise. Amar Rish Lakish, Im Me'isa Ein Tikva, Im Ketzef Yesh Tikva, Shekol HaKoyes Soifa Lehisratzes. Rish Lakish says, the pasuk should be read as follows. Ki Im Ma'os Ma'astanu. It looks sometimes like you had abandoned us, that you have total contempt for us, that you've thrown us into the garbage can. But that cannot be. How do I know? Because katzavta aleinu ad miyod. Moshe l'ma adova doime, you have a person who is very angry at his workers. So he calls one worker in, he tells him what he did wrong, in 5 seconds he's thrown him out. You lost your job, go collect your paycheck. I'm finished with you. The second one, he did exactly the same thing. After an hour's worth of mussar. So the fellow who heard all that mussar, they're both collecting their paychecks, one is talking to the other, he says, Mela, at least you got away with it, that you didn't have to hear all of that. Why did I have to hear all of that? He's sending me away. So he says, don't you understand? This man does not waste his time. If he really wanted to send you away for good, he wouldn't have spent 5 seconds on you, just like he did with me. I'm not going to get the job back. You'll see tomorrow, he'll call you back. But he wants you to know that you have to behave. And Klal Yisrael gets smacked on a daily basis, Rabbi Isai. Why? Why aren't we like the Romans and the Phoenicians and the Greeks and the Aztecs and the Incas? Why? Why aren't we relics of history? Why aren't we the subject of a documentary? The ancient kingdom of. Because the teretz is HaKadosh Baruch Hu has preserved us and will ultimately bring a gula shleima for us. So the whole idea of katzavta aleinu is a proof positive that HaKadosh Baruch Hu cares about us. And that's what Rish Lakish meant. If it's me'isa, then you get into the oblivion of history, and that's the end of you. If it's ketzef, if it's anger, yesh tikva. Shekol ha'koei sofo l'isratzos. So it comes out, this is part number one of the shir, comes out that the Ribbono Shel Olam gives us a parsha, and he gives us a haftarah. The parsha involves all of the Klolos, all of the threats, all of the harshest expressions in the entire Chumash. Maybe there's a drop in Parshas Bechukosai, but other than that, it's all in Sefer Dvarim. And during the time of Sefer Dvarim, and we read all of this, then the Jew could start thinking, maybe we're not shaykh to the whole parsha. So we have the Shiva, the Nechemta that are ex post facto, as I said, subsequent to the tshuva. It speaks about the geula itself. And the Nechama of that geula is that no matter what, in the confidence that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has with us, but what about the confidence that we have in ourselves? Zok the Nechama, no, there's going to be a geula, that means there was a tshuva, and if there was a tshuva, it means that Klal Yisrael in the end will fix itself, and all of the klolos and all of the warnings will have been justified because the golos is katzavta aleinu ad miyod, and it's only temporary in anticipation of a geula shleima. So if you don't look at the parsha, then the haftorahs are strange, because the haftorahs seem to be, what about our responsibility? But if you look at the parsha together with the haftorah, our responsibility is front row center, and it's dafka the haftorah that's needed, as I called it before, an antidote. Then there's another thing that I noticed. If you open up the haftorah of Shabbos Nachamu, in particular, the first one, Nachamu, Nachamu Ami, there's an inordinate amount in the psukim that don't speak about Klal Yisrael, don't speak about the geula, it speaks about Hashem. It's an amazing thing. And not only that, at the beginning of the Haftarah, and we'll look at the psukim in a moment, at the beginning of the Haftarah, the pasuk says as follows, Al har govoa alilach mevaseres Sion, harimi bakoach kolech mevaseres Yushalayim, harimi al tiroi. And the kasha that we ask is, why is she afraid? What is there to be afraid of? She's announcing the geula. Interestingly enough, in the Haftarah that we just had earlier, it says, Manovu alehorim ragli mevaser. Remarkable. There's a mevaseris and there's a mevaser. The mevaseris is afraid. Hashem says, don't be afraid. The mevaser is not afraid. Mevaser is dancing on the mountaintops. Manovu alehorim ragli mevaser. Mashmiya Yeshua. Omer litzion malach alekayach. Let's go to the words of the Haftorah that speak about Hashem in Nachamu, Nachamu Ami. Very remarkable. The Haftorah, El mi tadamyuni v'eshve yoyim HaKadosh. Who can you compare me to? Says the Ribbono Shel Olam. El mi tadamyuni v'eshve. What's going on over here? We're talking about the Geula. We're talking about Klal Yisrael, Nachamu, Nachamu Ami. What? Dabru alev Yerushalayim. Nirtzavoyna, everything is okay. Your chait has been atoned for. Now it's time for the geula. What do I need to know? Hayoshev al chug ha'aretz v'yoshveha kachagov. HaKadosh Baruch Hu sits on top of the world and the people are like grasshoppers, like tiny little insects. El mi tadamyuni v'eshve su mara meneichem uru mi bara eila ha'motzi b'mispar tzva'am. What do I need that for? Why do I need to know about HaKadosh Baruch Hu's greatness? And this is not the only Haftarah. Several times in the Shiva de Nechemta, it mentions that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is capable. And that's why the Mevaseres is afraid. Because the Mevaseres comes to a people who are tired of hearing about Mashiach. They're tired of hearing about failed Mashiachim. They're tired of hearing that the Golus is going to come to an end because they see all the simonim pointing in a different direction. The truth of the matter is, you look at the world today, I mean, just look at mamish, the world right now, this minute. So there's a crisis in Houston, Texas because of a natural disaster. There's a crisis from North Korea because of crazy people who might destroy the world. There's a crisis in Washington because the whole world is becoming crazier by the day. In terms of our moral values and sentiments, the whole world seems to be going mamish in the opposite direction in a very precipitous fashion. There's nothing that indicates that we're anywhere near the vision of the Navi of the Geula Shleima whatsoever. So the question is, the Mevaseres is going to come and she's going to say, Hinei Elokeichem, Mashiach is coming. Nobody's going to pay any attention. But worse than that, and that's where the other part of the Haftarah comes in. They're going to say, if HaKadosh Baruch Hu had the koyach, there would never have been a Hitler. If HaKadosh Baruch Hu had the koyach, then there never would have been the Crusades. If HaKadosh Baruch Hu had the koyach, how would he tolerate that millions of Jews assimilate and disappear into oblivion? Now the teretz is, HaKadosh Baruch Hu cannot. Whatever the reason is, he doesn't have the power to begin with, he imprisoned himself, Melech Asa Brahatim, whatever it is, he abandoned the world, hest upon him, and therefore, I don't believe you that there's a geula. I don't believe you that Mashiach is coming. So the Ribbono Shel Olam, in the beginning of the Shiva de Nechemta, has to establish his yecholus to bring the geula. It's an amazing thing. And if you look, if you count up the number of psukim, I don't know that this isn't the mainstay of the parsha. It's an amazing thing that you have to hear HaKadosh Baruch Hu saying, but I can. Look how great I am. Look what I've created. Look what I've done. It's a very, very remarkable nekuda. Then there's another thing that I wanted to mention. In the Shiva de Nechemta, the Avudram brings down that the Haftiris are sequential. In other words, if you look at the Haftiris, especially the first psukim of the Haftiris, there seems to be like a dialogue going on. And the dialogue begins with Nachamu, Nachamu Ami, and continues until Sois Os is Bashem. What is the Hemshech of this dialogue? How does it work? So, the first thing is that Nachamu Nachamu Ami continues with Parshas Ekev, Vatomet Sion Azavani Hashem Hashem Shechechoni. Sion is not ready to hear the Nechama that's being offered. Because Sion says Azavani Hashem, but not just Azavani, Vashem Shechechoni Hashem forgot me. So the Pasuk continues and says, no, it cannot be. Because no mother can forget her child. Gam eile tishkachna. You know, sometimes you have the most tragic of situations where a parent left the car and left the baby inside the car. And they came back to find that the baby had died of stroke from the heat that accumulated in the car. Says the Pasuk, Gam eile tishkachna. Even if lo yitzuyer, it could happen once that a mother could forget her child. But v'anoichi lo yeshkachich. Continues the Haftorah. So you think that's good enough? Aniyo soyaro lo nuchama. Haftorah's Re'eh says that she still has not reconciled. Remarkable thing. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, no, hinei anoichi marbitz papuch avonayich v'chol banayich limudei Hashem, etc., etc. What's lo nuchama? What's wrong? HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, I won't forget you. So the Avudram and other Mefarshim say, Nachamu, Nachamu Ami is a remarkable pasuk. Nachamu is a command, is that correct? Nachamu. Go be Menachem. Now, who's talking? Hashem. Who's he talking to? To whom is he talking? He's talking to Am Yisrael. He's saying, be Menachem, my people. X should be Menachem, my people. Ami. Nachamu, Ami. You should be Menachem. Ami is the object of the Nechama, not the subject of the Nechama, Pashtus. So who's the one who's being Menachem? The one who's receiving the Nechama at the behest of Hashem, who's commanding it, is Bnei Yisrael. They're receiving the Nechama. But who's giving the Nechama? Who's HaKadosh Baruch Hu talking to? You are charged with giving the Nechama. So in the Drush, I once said, Klal Yisrael has to be Menachem each other. But the Medrash and the Mefarshim and the Targum says the Malachim. Others say the Nevi'im. Targum says the Nevi'im. The Nevi'im are told to be Menachem B'nai Yisrael. But Bekitzah, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is giving the job away. He's telling others, whether it's Nevi'im or Malachim or Klal Yisrael themselves, to be Menachem. Aniyah Sayara Eloi Nuchama. She's not happy with that. She doesn't want the Nechama to come through a Shaliach. What's the very next Haftarah? Parsha Shoiftim, Anoichi, Anoichi, Hu Menachemchem. Anoichi, Anoichi, Hu Menachemchem. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, you're right. I will be Menachem you myself. Miyat Vatiri, Me Anosh Yomus, Me Benolam Chatzina, saying, don't be afraid of anybody. I am the one who's Menachem. And then, finally, Roni Akora Lo Yolodo is a very interesting Hamshach. What's the problem? So the problem is, it's very nice to be Menachem, there's nobody left. Very remarkable. Now the truth of the matter is, Baruch Hashem, we are not at that moment. But I imagine somebody, I remember my father, Zichrono Livracha L'chayel Abba, he told us that when they were in the Vilna Ghetto, the beginning of the first liquidation, there were two liquidations in the Vilna Ghetto. You know what a liquidation is? Liquidation means they take the Jews and they kill them. That's a liquidation. So the liquidation started, and the Germans had this tremendous kishrin of doing something in a way that was very subtle and very hardly known. And they fooled everybody and tricked everybody into all kinds of babamaisis, which the Jews were gullible enough, unfortunately, to hear, because HaKadosh Baruch Hu did not allow the Seichel HaYosher to work, just like he didn't allow the Chachomim and the Tzadikim to make the right decisions for them, because Meshiv Chachomim Ocher, just like by Rabbi Yochanan Ben Zakkai, the Gemara says in Pasachas Gittin, Meshiv Chachomim Ocher, why didn't he ask, what is he asking for Yavne V'Chachomel, why doesn't he ask for the Beis HaMikdash? So there are two opinions. One opinion is that he asked for Beis HaMikdash to fasta meruba loy to fasta. But the other opinion is Meshiv Chachomim Ocher. When there's Hester upon him on that level, now HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants a Churban to happen, nothing will save you. And nobody will be smart. So everybody ends up in Vilna, all the yeshivas, and they all get wiped out. So the question is, did the Jews know or they didn't know? Because they did it in such a subtle way. That it was a forest on the outskirts of Vilna. The forest on the outskirts of Vilna was called Ponari. I remember when I was a little child, I used to hear my parents, my father and my stepmother used to talk about, says, I'm gegangen af Panar. I didn't know what af Panar means. Later, when I got older, I realized af Panar means they went to their shechita. But that was af Panar. Panar was the name of the forest in Yiddish, Ponari Forest. Today there's some sort of a maskeres, you know. They have some sort of monument there in the forest. Here, hundreds of thousands, you know, 80,000 Jews were killed. I don't know, whatever. The kids are Abaisai. How did they do it? There were big cisterns, big pits that were there already from before in this forest. That's why they chose this place. It used to hold kerosene or naphthalene or whatever it was. And they were not used. They were abandoned. So there were these huge pits that were there. Massive graves, in effect. Used to line up the Jews on the edge of the grave and shoot them and push them into the grave. And they could get rid of 1,000 Jews in an hour. They collected the Jews. And in Vilna, nobody knew. They thought they went to work. Who knows where they went. And sometimes they would shove them in so quickly that they would forget to kill them, and they would just be buried alive. Anyhow, at night, a woman who was thrown into the pit and remained, she wasn't killed, she climbs out of the pit, and she comes back to Vilna. And she starts telling the people what she saw. And you know that nobody paid any attention to her. They said that she was crazed by whatever, and that it's impossible such a thing, and it never happened. And they looked at her like a Vista Meshugana. Imagine at that moment, that's what I'm asking, for that woman, you go and tell her that there's going to be a Gula Shleima. I wonder how many Jews coming out of Auschwitz just right before the liberation that thought that there's going to be Bechlau something called a Jew 5 years from now, from then. But the biggest catastrophe is the assimilation of Jews who don't even know that they're Jewish. There are millions of Jews that hardly know that they're Jewish. And in those millions, there are those who don't even know Bechlau that they're Jewish. I don't mean because they don't have the genetics. They push it, don't know, they don't care. They have Jewish ancestry, it doesn't mean a thing to them. There used to be a time when a person went to college and he knew that he's not supposed to have anything to do with a shiksa. And he knew that he was different because he had a different culture, different background. At the very least, he ate schmaltz herring and kishke and cholent. And she, who knows what she was eating? She had her turkey dinners, and then she had her Christmas meals or whatever it is. And there are two different cultures, two different worlds. Today, there's absolutely nothing different about them at all. There's no reason why they shouldn't marry. They're mamish haynu hach. They're both Americans. And they both have the same values and the same hashkafas, and they have zero to do with Yiddishkeit whatsoever. Even in Eretz Yisrael, there are still people who don't know how to say Shema Yisrael. And this kind of a circumstance, after HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, Anoichi, Anoichi, hu menachemchem, he has to say, Roni Akora lo yolada. Because the Akora says, with whom are you going to the Gula Shleima? Roni Akora lo yolada. The Akora looks like she's barren, she's not having any children. We don't feel that right now. We live in a very insulated capsule, and there's so much Torah in that capsule. More than who knows, and it could be more Torah, at least per capita. And we don't have a Shach, and we don't have a Taz, we don't have a Rav Moshe Feinstein right now. But in terms of the amount of Torah and the sincerity of the people learning, and the Mesiris Nefesh for Avodas Hashem, there's hundreds of thousands of Jews. But there are millions and millions and millions of Jews. And Rubam do not have any shaykhus. Or the shaykhus that they have is so warped and so upside down. They think that all the liberal values that the world has, they think that comes from the Torah. When everything is the exact opposite. They could look at a pasuk straight in the face that says that you're not allowed, that says you're chayiv misa, that says that is the worst possible thing in the world. And they could say, no, adarabah v'adarabah, this is what we're fighting for. And this is what we'll hold a banner, and this is what we'll have a parade with. In that kind of environment, you see an akara lo yalada. Comes along the Ribbono Shel Olam, and he says, you think there can't be a nechama. So you should know, ki rabim b'nei sheimema m'bnei ba'ula. Not only that, you're going to have to build a bigger tent, because the tent is too small. Remarkable that the Haftiris are actually in a dynamic from week to week. Until finally you have Kumi Oiri Kiva Oirech Ukvod Hashem Alayach Zorach. Si'i Savive Nayach Uri'i Kulam Nikbitsu Ba'ulach. And finally, Sois Osis Vashem Togel Nafshi Be'loikai. So this is the Avudram, a little bit with my interpretation. But I wanted to be moisif one thing. You know, there are a lot of Hasidish Torahs. Hasidish Torahs, I was listening to Rabbi Shor, and I hear an array, Tiferet Shloime, Sfas Emes, his father, and many others. Chassidish Torahs, many of them take a pasuk and turn it upside down and inside out. And sometimes you ask yourself, who gave them that heter? Who gave them the heter to say, to look at a pasuk and to use the pasuk that way? When the pasuk clearly doesn't have any implication at all in that direction. Are we allowed to take a pasuk and turn it inside out? So, I want to tell you a Hasidic Shavart. Pasuk says, Hasishkach isha ula, I'm going back to that pasuk that we said before. Can a wife forget her baby? May Rachem ben bitna, from having rachmonis on the fruit of her own womb? And gam eile tishkachnan, even if they would forget, like the Maisa Shahaya that I described, the tragic moment. And they do forget sometimes. But v'anoichi, I Hashem, lo yeshkachech, I will never forget you. By me, that's not shayach. Correct? That's the pasuk. Okay, now I'm going to tell you Chassidish Avertel. Chassidish Avertel, Klal Yisrael comes to the Rabbanu Shalom and says, maybe once upon a time, maybe we had a chance, but we blew the chance with the Chet HaEgel. And when we said, Eile Eloheicha Yisrael, that was the end. Then we lost our right and our zechus to a Gula Shlema. We lost our right to having that confidence that the chelik of Hashem Hamircha Yom Liyos Leila Am Segula includes Lishma Kol Mitzvosav L'Sitcha Elyon Al Kol Agoyim. We lost it. So the Ribbono Shlom says Gam Eile Tishkachna. I'm going to completely forget. Never mind that Tishkachna is not Ani. I'm going to completely forget the Eile. I'm going to forget the Eile Elohecha Yisrael. So the Klal Yisrael says to the Ribbono Shel Olam, well, if you're beginning to forget, you're forgetting the Chet HaEgel, maybe you'll also forget the relationship that you have with us that said, Anochi Hashem Elokecha Asher Tzisicha Meretz Mitzrayim. So the Ribbono Shel Olam says, Eile Tishkachna, but v'anochi, the Anochi Hashem Elokecha lo yeshkachech. I won't forget that. That is the ultimate Chassidish Torah. It includes in it, like, you know, it's the perfect example of a Chassidish Vart. Not one word in that Vart has anything to do with the Pasuk. Yeah? The only thing is that that's not a Chassidish Vart. That's a Medrash. The Masaira of a Chassidish Vart, you should know, goes back thousands of years. It was not begun by the cheder of the Baal Shem Tov. It doesn't mean that that's the pshat. If somebody thinks that the Chassidish Avot is the pshat of the pasuk, then he has a problem. But the Chassidish Avot has in it a tremendous idea. What is that idea? That we are allowed to take a pasuk and to find in that pasuk that nekuda, which elevates us, which encourages us, which gives us musar, which makes us try to become better Jews, that is permissible in the words of the pasuk, even if at the same time we are turning the pasuk inside out. It's a remarkable thing. Gam eile tishkachna remotely does not have anything to do with eile Elohecha Yisrael. And the word tishkachna does not refer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And it doesn't say that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to forget the Chet HaEgel at all. Anoichi lo yeshkacheich means I won't forget you. That's what Anoichi lo yeshkacheich means. Not I won't forget the Anoichi that I said, Anoichi Hashem Elokecha. What right the Chazal have to do this? The teretz is that is one of the segulois of the Torah. Now I just want to add one thing. They say a maisa by Reb Kiva Eger, he had the Galitzianische pronunciation. So somebody was eating the breakfast table and he asks, V is the I, where is the egg? V is the I, where is the egg? Whereupon one of the Talmidim that was sitting there, who was very sharp, and he wanted to say that the egg is in front of you, he said, V'ha'ai mikedem. Pasuk says, Beis el miyom, V'ha'ai mikedem. The city of Ai is to the east. Rabbi Kivager yelled at him, that's the story goes, and said, you're not allowed to do that with psukim. What's the difference between the two? The answer is, you can't take a pasuk and corrupt it for no good purpose, but just to have a good time with the words. That you're not allowed to do. But you can take a pasuk and turn it inside out, to teach a Dvar Musar. It's an amazing thing. And if you look at many, many Hasidic Sfarim, you will find exactly this Mahalach in almost any Pasuk in the Torah, or for that matter, in parts of Tanakh. Finally, I wanted to mention that there's one Pasuk that, at least personally, gives me tremendous chizuk. Tremendous chizuk. Pasuk says, in the Haftarah of Atay Metzion Azavani Hashem, Oid yoimu ba'aznayich b'nei shikulayich, tzar li hamokoyim gisholi ve'esheva. What is b'nei shikulayich? What's shechula? What's mishakel? Mechutz teshakel cherev. It means to abort a child. How could it be b'nei shikulayich? It's a stira minei ubei. Here it says, the children of your bereavement. When it says, mechutz teshakel cherev, it means the sword will cut them down. That's what it means. Shikulayich, it can't have banim. It's a stira. Listen further. V'amart bil vaveich, mi yolad li eseyle, v'ani shechula v'galmuda goyla v'sura v'eyle mi gideel. Klal Yisrael says it's impossible. How could it be that there should be children? Every single drasha, bar none, that my father, Zechayna Levach L'chayla Mabba, gave at a simcha of the mishpacha, every single drasha, he began, continued, and finished with basically this theme, that it's impossible for them to conceive bichlal. When he was running in the sewers of Vilna like a rat in a dungeon to survive, and he was led to the shechita 3 times separately, that it would be conceivable at that moment that he should be at a bar mitzvah, at a sheva brachas, at a simcha of an ur einikel. My father was zeichet to live to be 100 years old. And he gave drushas when he was deep in his 90s. And every time he couldn't get over, even though it was 50 years of nachas already, 50 years of nachas, he couldn't get over the fact, not that just that he survived, but that this is the definition of survival for Klal Yisrael. In effect, he kept asking the question, like a starry-eyed person who's wondering, how could this be? Mi yolad li yaseila, v'anish chula v'galmuda goyla v'sura. It's the most astonishing thing to watch. And because I was born on the edge of the war was almost over, technically speaking. I didn't experience any of this. And even though I lived vicariously through all of it from them, but afal pikein, it's einay daima kechayk mizrach meimayrav. And you're an American kid, basically. I was born in Europe. I came here when I was 2.5 years old. I have personally no recollection, personal recollection. I've told many stories. But I have no personal recollection before the age of 3. So I'm an American boy. And with all of my European trappings, and with all of the echo of the Churban, but I didn't live in that Churban. But the people who came out of that Churban and rebuilt, they never patted themselves on the back, because they were constantly astonished that how could this be? Mi yolad li yaseila. I think to myself many times that when we are in this shir, this kvutz of people, and we are hearing the words of the Shiva the Nechemta in shul, and you hear all of these psukim, you don't have to hear the psukim and wonder how will it ever be. And the picture that we painted a half an hour ago. Because the very fact that we are here, this one, originally from Russia, parents lost. You know that you're Jewish, that's about it. You end up, in a Eish HaTorah. 2 generations later, the children are with Peyalach. I'll never forget, I was once giving a shiur in Westchester. And they had a breakfast. At the breakfast, the people were milling around. I see a fellow there who attended the shiur without a yarmulke. You understand where we're holding? And he's a very, very excited person, and he's showing pictures to a friend of his. And my curiosity, to be honest with you, got the better of me. What is so exciting about those pictures? So I walked myself over gently and kind of like tried to insinuate myself into those 2 chevra, who took notice of me. And he says to me, "Rabbi, you want to see pictures of my grandchildren?" The fellow without a yarmulke. So I said, "Yes, of course." I mean, I was going to say no. He shows me pictures, Yerushalmi kids with Kaisel Tepeyas like this. And he is in 7th heaven. It's Pilei Ployim. Because Azayda with an Einikul, you know. It's interesting. I always tell kids who have problems, they're Bali Tshuva and they have problems with their parents, don't worry, just have a baby. Everything will be all right. How could this be? Mi Yolad Li Yaseiva. My father kept asking, Mi Yolad Li Yaseiva. I have Talmidim in the yeshiva. One after another, the innocence, the purity of these boys, where did they grow up? In the garbage. With the televisions and the internets and the sports and kol davar asur. How did they end up being so pure? They're so pure, they're on the verge of naivete. They're so innocent. They're so sincere. It's nerva oyim. Much more than a gerib in a yeshiva bacher, who knows the ins and the outs, you know? Pilei ploy, miol adli yaseila. You come to a base medrash. It's true. You have campaigns, no talking, and retzedavant. It's true, because otherwise the campaigns would stop. Now the teretz is a campaign. Now Baruch Hashem, you know, the truth of the matter is the only ones that could really stop the talking is the Rav. And he has to drop an atom bomb. Maybe even a hydrogen bomb. Oh, but Lemaisa, he can't. Because he has a contract, and he has a president, he has a board, he has Balabatim, and he has people on the Mizrach Band. It's gatenished. There's a certain rav in the neighborhood that said, "It's going to be more talking, I'm leaving, and I'm not davening in my own shul." And there was still talking, so he left. But eventually came back. Maybe it helped a little bit, maybe helped for a while. Not poshut. But you know, you have shuls that there is no talking. Balabatim, not yeshivas. There are shuls that there's no talking. That's a miracle. Bizman hazeh, that's a miracle. If you look at it from one perspective, you wonder, how's there ever going to be a gula shleima? But every once in a while, you see the simon of mi yolad li yaseila. That it doesn't make any sense. You know that in Eretz Yisrael, 50 Sfarim come out every single month. It's unbelievable. On any topic you could imagine in Torah. Halacha, Agada, Lamdas, Bavli, Yerushalmi, Shulchan Aruch, anything. Every Miktsaya. There are people who are mumchim gedolim in the most esoteric parts of Torah. People you don't even know or hear about. And that is mi yolad li yaseila. Rabbi Chaim Shmuel Levitz came and they had barely a minion in the Mir Yeshiva after the Churban. He came to America, immediately went off to Eretz Yisrael, and in Eretz Yisrael they established the Mir Yeshiva. And the Mir Yeshiva in Eretz Yisrael had a handful of people. The same Mir Yeshiva that today has thousands and thousands of Talmidim. Lakewood was nothing. I remember my father, Zechonu Livracha, used to take us when we were little children to daven Yom Noroim with Rabbaran. Such an interesting thing, because he really had no personal shaychus to him whatsoever. But he wanted us to be with Rabbaran Yom Noroim. Interesting. The learning, he sent me to Rav Soloveitchik, but he wanted me to daven with Rav Aaron. The Maisa, there were plenty of seats available in one Beis Medrash, which they had just built that building, brand new. And today, there's Beis Medrash after Beis Medrash, Beis Medrash, and you can't find a seat. Thousands and thousands of people. If people are learning, I have a son-in-law who's a Rosh Chabura in Erevin. They learn Erevin 2 Sdarim a day. Last man, and now they're continuing in Erevin, the most esoteric stuff. And they're learning by Asmada Atsuma Maseches Erevin all day long. Brilliant boys. Terrific hep. Be all Adli Asewa. It's Mamish Noiriv Oyim. So I think that when you look at these haftoris and you're ma'ayin in the nekudas that are being presented to us, there's a whole tapestry, there's a huge range of emotions and of factors. Hoy kol tzamei l'chul amayim is in our haftorah of Parshas Re'eh. Most amazing thing. You know who chapped onto this? There's one day of the week where there is at least a semblance of the future picture, because we escape from the world on that day. One day. And there was a mekubal in the time of the Ari HaKadosh that wanted to write a piyut that would capture the idea, how do you bring yourself into Shabbos Kodesh? And his name was Reb Shlomo Halevi Alkabetz. And he wrote a piyut that the whole world knows. The piyut that's called L'cha Doidi Likras Kala. And in that piyut, Reb Shlomo Halevi Alkabetz borrows heavily from the Shiva de Nechemta. Isnari Meyofa Kumi. Uri Uri Shir Daberi. Yamin Usmol Tifroitzi. Loi Se Voishi Veloi Si Kolmi. Everything comes from the Shiva de Nechemta. Amazing. And the whole of the L'cha Doidi Bichlal is that when you come into Shabbos, you have some taste, some foretaste of what it's going to be like in the time of the Gula Shlema. So I just wanted to be Messiah with an observation that I had, which I may have mentioned in the past. I know that I said it in the shul. I was in Eretz Yisrael once, and they asked me to speak in one of the shuls there. And I asked them a question, because I noticed that in that shul, like in our shul, and like in many other shuls, they changed the niggun by Loi Sei Voishi. So it's like, what's wrong with the original niggun? You got this far, so why don't you finish the whole L'cha Doidi? Why do you change your niggun in the middle? And it's always by Loi Sei Voishi. Generally speaking, the second niggun is more lebedik than the first. Lav dafka, but generally speaking. So what's the pshat? So I showed them a very interesting thing. Maybe you have to know a little bit Lashon Kodesh to fully appreciate it, but nevertheless. If you look at the segments, the stanzas before Loi Sei Voishi, you will notice that they are all requests or commands, and they are expressed in a Lashon that clearly does not have the Vadai, the definiteness expressed through it. Lamashal. Uri, Uri, Shir Daberi. What do we want? We want her to wake up, Uri, Shir Daberi, but it doesn't say she will. We want it. We're begging for it. We are demanding it. But it doesn't say that she will. Or for example, Hisnari may offer Kumi. We are telling her, please, arouse yourself and climb out of the dust. But it doesn't say that she will. But then it says, Loi Sei Voishi, Veloi Si Kolmi. How do you translate that? So you translate it, don't, please don't be embarrassed.
But that's not, we're not asking her not to be embarrassed. What are we saying? You will not be embarrassed. Loi say vayshi. V'hoyolim shiso shosoyich v'rochaku kol mevaloyich. It doesn't say yirchaku mevaloyich or ula yirchaku or any. It says v'rochaku kol mevaloyich. It doesn't say no sos aleinu Hashem. Please Hashem rejoice. Yosis alayich elokoyich. Of course, from the Shiva the Nechemta, Kim says Chosin al Kala. It doesn't say, please, maybe it'll be Yamin Usmail. Yamin Usmail, Tifroitzi. Ves Hashem Ta'aritzi al Yadish Ben Parzi. Vin Ismecha, Vin Agila. In other words, what changed is that the Bakosha became more than a Bakosha. The Bakosha became a conviction. It's definitely going to happen. That's why we change our niggun. I don't know if you ever heard that from anybody else, and I never saw it in any sefer, but I'm totally convinced that that's what happened. We want to show, and that's really what happens in the Shiva de Nechemta. So I just want to finish with this. It says in the pasuk that we say all the time, ki imcha haslicha leman tivarei. It's a very difficult pasuk to understand. You know why? Because ki imcha aslicha should be leman tivarei, so you should be feared. If you want to be feared, you should say ki imcha einish. Somebody would say ki imcha einish leman tivarei, ki imcha gehenim leman tivarei, ki imcha the big weapon, the big stick leman tivarei, ki imcha aslicha leman tivarei. So you know who asked this question? Very, very indirectly, the Ramban. The Ramban asked this question in his Akdoma to Parshas, to Sefer Dvarim. To the whole Sefer, there's Akdoma. The Akdoma to Sefer Dvarim, he says, he doesn't ask it as a question. He says a point of fact. He says, one of the things that is mentioned in Sefer Dvarim is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is a Saleach HaMoichel, and he does it in order that we should fear him. So what's the pshat? So the Ramban says, because we have the confidence that the jig is not up. I mean, he doesn't use those words, but that's what he means. We have the confidence that it's not too late. Because if a person thinks that there is no slicha and mechila, then once he does something wrong, that's it. I once asked a person who was very desperate because he was very sunken in a certain aveira, and he couldn't climb out of it. So I told him, I said, I don't understand you. He says, you know, the Rambam says, look how great the Koyach HaTshuva is. Yesterday you were Meshukatz Metuav. Kadosh Baruch Hu didn't want to have anything to do with you. Your tefillos were torn up. And today you're Ov, Nechmad V'Karv, he did. Don't you want that? So, Vera Mensch, I told him, take yourself in your hands. He says, Rabbi Kahn, with so much Yiyush in his voice, Rabbi Kahn, the Ribbono Shel Olam is not interested in me. He doesn't want me. And to be frank with you, if I lost my Olam Haba, I might as well enjoy my Olam Hazeh. If there wouldn't be Slicha, then every time a person would do an Aveira, and the punishment is there, and the Gehenim is there, and it's all over, and what's to prevent him from doing 1,000 more Aveiras? You have to have the hope and the confidence to be able to climb out of the pit. And then you have a ladder to climb out of the pit. But if you think there's no ladder, and you have no such confidence, then you remain in the pit. So if you remain in the pit, then you might as well enjoy what's in the pit. Ki imcha slicha. If you know that there's mechila, slicha, and kapara, and you can start all over, and you can start afresh, and you have a chance, and you could be kind of olam haba, and you can have Gan Eden, then there is a very strong possibility that the person will fear HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Because without hope, there can never be any sense of repair. And without repair, there's no reason to try. So I want just to go one step beyond that point. After the Shiva de Nechemta, there's two
Haftaris of Tshuva, if there's no confidence that the picture that we see, all the negative that we see, is going to somehow turn out all right, and that ultimately, the mi olad li yaseila, hachivi mekoy moholech, there's going to be a multitude, and not only that, but the goyim will love the Jews, and the goyim will come to the Jew, as it says in Yeshayahu in the earlier prakim, and ask, L'chu v'nal el har Hashem v'yoreinu, and you'll teach us, ki mitzion teitze Torah v'har Hashem Yishalayim, then the chance of doing tshuva is very, very unlikely. Because we're sunk in a hole, and we're in a miserable galus, and every time we try, we get smacked down, and the guy hates us, and the picture could be very bleak. So without the shiva, the nechemta, we can't have the haftaris of tshuva Yisrael ad Hashem alekecha. In the same way that without the feeling of tshuva, we can't have Yiras Hashem, you can't have tshuva without the confidence that Klal Yisrael has in their future. So if the Tisha B'Av is hammered into us for 7 weeks, that not only is all not lost, but that the future is so glorious we can't even imagine how great it's going to be. Should be Zoycha Taka, Vyaskel Tzedek, Bebeheru, Vyomeinu, Amen.